Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. We've all had that moment when we're learning and suddenly a light bulb clicks on. Teachers can measure knowledge in a variety of ways, including projects and classroom discussions. But what is the best way to measure a student's learning as a whole? Should test results be used in deciding if our students are succeeding? What about measuring a student's success from an Indigenous perspective? Join us right after National Native News and tell us how you measure student success. This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood. Efforts to improve tribal-state relations and new economic development in Indian Country are continuing in South Dakota. The Secretary of State is reaching out to tribes and forming new memorandum of agreements that will help tribal governments maintain commercial codes that are a foundation for economic development. Charles Michael Ray reports.
Say you're a lender or a bank, and you want to know if a mortgage application you're considering regarding a property has another outstanding loan. This is one area where a Uniform Commercial Code, or UCC, comes in. For years, tribes didn't have universal commercial codes, and this made starting a tribal business or getting a home loan much more difficult. And this is something the Secretary of State, Chantel Krebs, wants to remedy.
One of my goals and missions in the Secretary of State's office is to continue building relationships with our tribes across South Dakota to provide the Uniform Commercial Code filing service. We are wanting to build the relationship to provide that service for tribes across South Dakota at no charge.
Krebs is working out Memorandum of Agreements, or MOAs, with each tribal government in the state to help implement UCCs. Tanya Fiddler is with the Four Bands Community Fund. She's a leader in Indian Country economic development. Fiddler says the Secretary of State's office is taking a positive step. She adds that more work is needed to increase the power of tribal courts that can ensure uniform commercial codes are kept.
If we want to be successful developers, it's worth tribes investing in their courts development once they enter into these agreements like a UCC. So not only is this first effort for, you know, developing an MOA so that UCCs come into place, but it'll be interesting to see what the state can do for resource and support in building out the capacity of the tribal court system.
Fiddler says that the new State Tribal Economic Development Task Force that was created last year is also a positive move forward. She says while challenges remain, there is a large potential for new tribal economic development across the board. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture is visiting the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota today. Tom Vilsack will tour the Oglala Lakota College and Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation. Vilsack is set to announce new federal funding for economic development. Earlier this year, the Obama administration designated Pine Ridge as a promise zone to increase economic activity. The initiative also aims to improve educational opportunities, leverage private investment, reduce violent crime, and enhance public health, as well as address other community priorities. New Mexico tribes are welcoming a group of indigenous people from Guatemala and sharing their language and culture with the visitors. Isleta Pueblo, south of Albuquerque, is hosting Maya people and guests from the U.S. State Department today. The group is visiting Isleta Elementary School to learn about the Tiwa language. The school has a new Tiwa language program. Tribal leaders are also taking part in the event. The State Department and the 15-member group of Maya people are traveling to various pueblos in New Mexico. There are 19 pueblos in the state. Participants at a gathering in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada this week are honoring murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls and focusing on ways to address the issue. The spirit of our sisters' national gathering includes a number of speakers, advocates, and First Nations community members and leaders. A fundraising campaign was recently launched for communities to address the issue at the grassroots level, as First Nation leaders continue to pressure the federal government for a national investigation. I'm Tara Gatewood.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Darlan Gold, Jimoho Kuluguyut, Bijikia Ghat, Guskok Fim, Guih Bim, Sua Wat Digni, Jalang Nako Rashata Kaingagun.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. The school year is well underway. Students are busy with all kinds of work, from pop quizzes to book reports. When teachers go into the classroom, many of them have a plan for what they want to teach and an idea of what they want their students to leave the classroom knowing. But what is the best for a teacher to know if their students are getting it? Is it asking them questions or even requiring a written paper? More often, it's the dreaded test that teachers call on to determine student learning. It's your chance to weigh in today. What do you think is the best way to measure our students' success? And how do you know if your kids or grandkids are really getting what's being taught to them in the classroom? And is there a way to measure student learning from an Indigenous perspective? And we also want you to think back when your parents or elders in your community tried to teach you something. Did they pull out a multiple choice bubble sheet to check and make sure you knew what they taught you? Probably not. And we want to know today, what are some of the traditional ways your community tested knowledge on young people? Call us right now and tell us what you think is the best way to measure student learning. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us now from Cove Day School in Cove, Arizona, is Dr. Charles Monty Russell, and he's the director of the Bureau of Indian Education, or BIE, and he is Navajo. Welcome to Native America Calling, Dr. Russell.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Dr. Russell, thank you. A lot of people are, nestled into the school year, and there's a lot of discussion on, what our students are doing. And when it comes to taking a look at, what our children are learning, really knowing, what is being, absorbed, I want to hear, your thoughts on how we can really know if our students are getting what's being taught.
I think I'd like to change that question just a little bit in terms of the perspective of BIE and what we're trying to do now. I think the focus that we have, and I think the focus that we're trying to begin with now, is really, let's define what success is before we start trying to measure it. And I think in trying to find that definition, what we're looking at doing is working with tribes. I think it's really time that tribes begin to define what success looks like for their students at Hopi, their students at Gila River, their students at Tahan Autumn. And by making that first, defining that definition, then we can start looking at what are those multiple measures of success. What do we want our student to be when they exit our school system? What do we want them to have knowledge of when they enter our school system? And so I think what we're trying to do with BIE is to actually try to work with tribes to help them begin to think about those questions and then work backwards. What is the outcome we want, and then how do we get there?
And Dr. Russell, who should be at the table when we're talking about tribes?
I think everybody. I think that's one of the in the past, I think we've been very excluded people from the table. And I think, as we know, in Indian country, we have a very big table and there's always room for more. And so what we're doing is saying the tribes need to be a part of that. It's not right for BIE to define what success should look like for the students throughout the system, that tribes need to also have a say in that, a huge say. And it's BIE's responsibility then to assist the tribe in achieving that kind of outcome. That's the new BIE as we move forward. It's not a command and control, but it's very much a school improvement type of technical assistance strategy to help build capacity at the tribal level. But parents need to be there also, and educators and business leaders and everybody that deals with the community of where these students come from. They have a vested interest in the success of these students, and they can help define what success looks like.
And in your experience or traveling throughout Native America, visiting with, different communities, who are some of the faces that you do see at the table? You know, are you seeing those community members, parents, elders? Are you seeing those faces at the table, or, is this something you'd like to see more of?
I think we can always try to see more of. I think it's there's been, again, the history of BIE has been very much a top-down approach that we decide and then we tell people what to do. And that is over. Now it's changing and listening to tribes and saying, what do you want? What do you want to achieve? I'm here at Cove Day School, and I just talked to a combination class of third, fourth, and fifth graders. And, listening to them, talk about what they want to be when they grow up. Doctors and lawyers, and one a medicine man, a veterinarian, a police officer, and all of those things. So what does it mean for them to be a police officer? Well, here at Navajo, then they should be able to speak Navajo. So then going back and making sure that we have the right people at the table to ensure that we have native language taught in a way that achieves fluency. So I think a lot of what we're doing sometimes is that we've kind of done just a broad stroke approach, but we've never really drilled down. I think when you drill down, then you start deciding who else needs to be at the table. And I think with parents, of course they want to be at the table. Tribal ed departments, I think, to be able to be at the table. Tribal leaders, tribal councils, all of these people need to be at the table. I think the others are public schools also need to be at the table. So because these kids that we have go from one school system to another, so we need to be much more inclusive as we start looking at success.
And Dr. Russell, did any of those young people give you a clue or either just comment on how they measure success?
No, they didn't. I mean, I wish I would have thought through, what I was going to say to them. They kind of put me on the spot. They talked about what they wanted to be, and I think that defines success in a way. That's one measure of success. Will I achieve my dream? Will going to school help me achieve my dream? That's a measure of success. The conversation we had, one of the kids is, what happens if I don't become what I want to become? And they talked about education being that opportunity to have more doors and not just be limited to one door. And so I think, in some ways they did by saying what they want to be, because in order for them to be a doctor, they need to be successful in the areas of science and math and communication skills. So I think in some ways by having dreams and having goals, they are telling us what they need, and it's up to us adults to listen better. And I think one of the people you said earlier, you asked a question, who needs to be at the table? The students need to be at the table. They need to tell us what they want to be and what their challenges are from their perspective. And we need to be able to have the courage to listen to them. Sometimes we think that we know best, and we don't always.
All right. Thank you for that, Dr. Russell. It's interesting, your choice of words, too, of having the courage to listen to them. Folks, what do you think? Call us 1-800-996-2848. Today, we're talking about the best way to measure if students are learning. And we want to hear from you. What do you think is the best way? Is it tests? Call us 1-800-996-2848. Tell us what you're thinking. And maybe you feel that it's things like projects or science fairs, written papers, or maybe even through the arts. You can call in, share your thoughts, 1-800-996-2848. 2848. And Dr. Russell, specifically when it does come to BIE, how does BIE assess student learning?
We, as a school system, as a SEA, we have to follow what we still have, and that is the Elementary, Secondary, and Education Act. So we have to measure based on the state assessments, the high-stakes testing that we have. So for us, it's 23 separate accountability workbooks that we have to deal with. It's very cumbersome. It's one of the things that we're trying to change. We're trying to narrow that to make it something that we can actually deal with better. But the measures of success is what has been identified previously under the No Child Left Behind Act. And that does not give a good measure of success. That makes our students look very one-dimensional, and they are not. It's not just about a test score. It's about, as you mentioned earlier, their ability to do project learning, their ability to be able to analyze. None of that is measured in most of these tests. Now, going forward, our BIE-funded schools, both our BIE-operated as well as our tribally-operated, are adopting Common Core, and hopefully that'll help. I'll have a deeper understanding of what success looks like. But right now, we have a very crude measure of that success, and that's why we're in the process of trying to redefine that. We're looking at having a negotiated rulemaking to help us listen to tribes, listen to parents, listen to educators, and come up with a new way to measure that success of our students.
All right. Thank you for that, Dr. Russell. And, you know, more and more we hear about different folks speaking out and weighing in on tests across, you know, the country. And folks, you know, what do you think about that as a measurement for our students' success? We want to hear from you. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And Dr. Russell, I'm sure you've seen some of the headlines or news stories following this. You know, straight up, do you feel that there is too much emphasis on tests?
Yes. I mean, that's a simple answer based on, you know, my years of experience. But I think it had the impact of, you know, a lot of our schools, We start at a disadvantage anyway because of funding, because of facilities, because of materials. And then when you begin to limit and really target and drill down, and if it's all about the test, learning is just about what you score on a test, you start to, again, bring in this idea of a shrinking curriculum, narrowing of a curriculum. And it becomes very one-dimensional. And these kids, just at the time these students need to be expanding their horizon, we seem to be limiting their exposure to learning. And so in the long run, it doesn't help our students. It doesn't help our tribal nations. It doesn't help our country. It helps test scores, but I don't believe our country and our tribal nations are about test scores. It's about the individual who can bring something and build their tribal nations as well as our tribes independently of each other, too.
All right. Thank you for that. And with us today is Dr. Charles Monty Russell, and he is the director of the Bureau of Indian Education, or BIE. He comes to us from the Navajo Nation, and today he is at the Cove Day School in Cove, Arizona. If you have any questions for Dr. Russell, he's with us for the first half today. Our phone lines are open, and the number is 1-800-996-2848. And we're going to go now to Auburn, Washington, and bring in Paula Scott. She is the curriculum coordinator for the Muckleshoot Tribal School, and Paula is Cherokee. It's our pleasure to have her with us today. Good day to you, Paula.
Thank you. Same to you.
And Paula, you know, we're hearing what Dr. Russell's take on, you know, success and our students in our native school system. I also want to just give you a moment, too, you know, to weigh in on, you know, how do you feel, you know, we should be measuring success in our schools?
Well, for one thing, you need to treat it holistically. So it needs to be more than just a test score or the Common Core standards. It needs to meet the child on a level that's everything. We have culture integrated K-12. We have native language integrated K-12. We're seeing kids that are thriving. We have project-based education. We have a lot of outdoor education. We have forestry, K-12. So we have things in our classes that connect with the kids that are part of their world. And I think that's one thing that these tests are missing, because they're standardized tests. They follow a Western idea of linear, not a holistic approach where it's in a circle, everything connects. And there's a lot of disjointed things in there. Do we need a check and balance? Yes, we do. But you don't need to deny a child graduating because they failed one test. And that's what's happening in the high school. I think that what our teachers are doing in the classroom, they're observing, they're working for mastery, they're looking at skills, they're integrating it with culture so that it makes that connection for the child, for their world, and not somebody else's world. A lot of the tests have references that most of our students aren't familiar with. And I also think that's very much at a disadvantage for our students.
And Paula, earlier we heard Dr. Russell just, you know, giving his take on things. Any thoughts or reactions to hearing what the director of the Bureau of Indian Education had to say?
Well, I think he raised several good points about having all the stakeholders at the table. But again, we're all mandated by what's coming down from Washington, because all of the schools have to take those state tests. So I would really hope that somebody from the Department of Education is in there listening to this, because No Child Left Behind, it to me, it was the wrong thing to do. It puts schools at a disadvantage. It withholds funding from schools. They have this annual yearly progress, which is just based on the test scores, not looking at kids who progress over time. It's a snapshot. I mean, if some of those people were to take a test and their job depended on it, and if they failed a test, they get fired, I wonder how they'd feel.
That's some pretty high pressure. And, you know, folks, if you want to comment on that too, you can call us. Phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And, Paul, I'm glad, you know, you mentioned also the Department of Education. And I want to go back to Dr. Russell. Dr. Russell, what's being done to make sure that the Department of Education is hearing some of this?
Well, I think one of the things that's being done is recently this past summer, the Miccosukee tribe developed their alternative definition of AYP, their own accountability workbook, just like the state have their accountability workbook. And so they were able to develop and create what they determine is their measure of success. Part of that was including their native language. And that was a joint effort between the Department of Ed and the Department of Interior to approve that workbook moving forward. We are presently and currently working with the Navajo Nation to finalize their accountability workbook. There are two other tribes that have inquired about the possibility and how they would draft their own accountability workbook. So I think this is taken into account what I said earlier about saying, how do you actually achieve these measures of success? And you still need to take a test, but if you can then talk about what are those other multiple measures of success that help define what success looks like for each tribe. And there is a process. There's a process right now with our school system to develop an alternative definition of AYP. And so we are really optimistic at BIE that other tribes will begin to also take a look at this. And I think it'll really change the playing field. We need to build capacity at the tribal level, but it's something that Ed and BIE have both said, this is what the future looks like. And we are, you know, we now have gone through a lot and we know what we're doing. We can streamline it. And I think so now we're in a better position to respond and react to tribes' requests in a way that we weren't able to 5 years ago, 2 years ago, even a year ago.
And Dr. Russell, any idea about how long that process took for the school you mentioned?
It took many, many, many years, long before I came on board. I think the initiative with Secretary Jewell and Secretary Duncan to try to change the landscape and the discussion of Indian education really moved this process forward. Their leadership, I think, really, we felt it down at BIE, and I'm sure through Ed, they also did, that this is what was needed. It's talking about self-determination. It's talking about tribal sovereignty. And it's something concrete that you can point to and say, this is what tribal sovereignty looks like. This is what self-determination looks like. And I think that is something that, as we move forward, it really has helped. So even though it may have taken years and years and years to get to that point, now, though, we know what questions to ask. Before that, it was very difficult to know exactly what the future held. Now we know. And so now it gives us that opportunity to streamline. And we think we can go through this process, you know, much quicker now, not years and years. Maybe we're hoping within a year.
And Dr. Russell, I know you got to get going here. Got about a minute before break. And finally, anything that's being done to make sure, you know, we're getting around the corner from a change in administration, anything that's being done to solidify, you know, making sure whatever's put in place now will continue?
Well, I think what's put in place is not really put in place. I think by bringing tribes to the table, I think, and letting them have a say in what they want for their school systems, what they want for the kids, that's something that you can't take back. That's something that once that's articulated, once that goal is articulated, that's something that the government cannot take away. So I think by having, through our Sovereignty and Indian Education Initiative and our Tribal Ed Department grants, the tribes stating what they want and the capacity they need to build in order to achieve that, that is really planting their idea and their dreams for their tribal ed department moving forward. And the Department of Ed is also doing that with their STEP grant in terms of giving tribes, tribal ed departments, the ability to decide what they want to do with their educational system. That's hard to take back. It's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube once it's out. And in this case, when tribes see what they can do to direct, control, and manage their school systems, that's something that, you know, cannot be changed.
All right. Thank you for that great analogy. And our pleasure to be chatting today with Dr. Charles Monty Russell, Director of the Bureau of Indian Education. And we're going to continue this conversation. And today we are taking a look at measuring success in school. What kind of measuring stick do you wish they used? And what do you think about the stick they're using now? Call us, share your opinions and thoughts. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And phone lines are open. Skogee Nation artist Joy Harjo is known for her moving poetry. This month's book spotlight is on her latest work. It's titled Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings, and it covers Native history and life. We invite you to join us as we gain access to her observations on life on our next program. We hope you can join us.
Support for this program provided by the Anchorage Marriott Downtown, one block from the Denina Convention Center and close to restaurants and shopping, welcoming the upcoming Bureau of Indian Affairs meeting. For booking, 1-800-228-9220 and mention BIA. And by the College of Rural and Community Development. Attend college from your home community. Learn more about Alaska Native Studies and Tribal Management Programs at uaf.edu/rural or 1-866-478-2721. And by the Nana Regional Corporation and the Nana Family of Companies. One people, one region, one future. Online at nana.com. Support by Manilik Association, providing health care, tribal, and social services to residents of rural Northwest Alaska.
Ilisagovic College, based in Barrow, is Alaska's only tribal college offering its students a quality, accredited education in a variety of academic and vocational fields. Learn more at ilisagovic.edu or 1-800-478-7337, extension 1772.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and thank you for joining us. Before we return to our conversation about measuring student learning, I want to share with you some of the ways you can connect with Native America Calling. Our website is nativeamericacalling.com, and you can also send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE, or either find us on Facebook. And if you prefer, you can send us an email too. Our address is comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And today we've been discussing how we can measure if students are actually getting what teachers are putting in front of them. And there are lots of ways to check student learning, from writing papers, asking questions in class, or even a big project like a papier-mâché volcano at a science fair. But what about tests, especially state standardized tests? Do you ever feel that perhaps this is the wrong way to measure a student's success? Or are you fine with it and you applaud the efforts? Give us a call. All opinions are welcome. Share your thoughts at the number 1-800-996-2848 and tell Native America what's on your mind. I'd like to go ahead and welcome back our guest, Paula Scott. She's with us today from Auburn, Washington, and she's the curriculum coordinator for the Muckleshoot Tribal School. And Paula is Cherokee. It's our pleasure to have her here with us today. Welcome back, Paula.
Thank you.
And Paula, before the break, I had a chance to ask the director of BIE, you know, what's being done to make sure things will carry over with, you know, a change in the administration. Does any of this worry you, or are you prepared for some of this changeover when it comes to, you know, measuring standards and success of our kids?
Well, you know, I read Indian Country today, and in the September, I think it was 16th issue, I'm concerned because there are people who just don't understand. Rand Paul, he says, Native Americans don't do very well, this is a quote, because there's been a lack of assimilation in this country. That concerns me. assimilation is pretty much, you know, cultural genocide. And we're doing something in the state of Washington where we have our Indian education part of the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction. And right now it's mandated that we have, since time immemorial, curriculum in our school. And that was input by all of the tribes in this area. It talks about sovereignty. So not only our Native students understand this, but other people understand this, and even teachers understand this. And I think that's something that needs to happen. There needs to be that understanding. I know that Montana has Indian education for all. I'm not sure about any of the other states, but ours is mandated, theirs is mandated. And I think we need to see that more, because a lot of people have stereotypes. They don't understand the boarding school experience, and you know, they make these assumptions without knowing. Same thing with tests. How can they tell us that we have to take these tests if they've never taken them themselves? A good teacher always takes the test before they give it to the kids. That's not happening. And who's making the decision? Are they educators? Have they been in the classroom recently?
Well,
those are a snapshot in time.
Sure. And Paul, those are definitely critical questions that, we do need to be asking. And folks, you know, if you've thought about some of these tests and who is making them or either administering them, how does that measure up to your own thoughts on what makes success for our students or, you know, just seeing what they're doing? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And the quote that you mentioned, Paula, we're actually going to take that on in a full show Monday the 5th, taking a look at, you know, assimilation. But moving forward with our discussion about measuring this success, Paula, you know, what would you like to see more teachers having available or what they're doing, given more credit as a true assessment of a student's success?
Well, each student is an individual. And I think that it needs to be a conversation with families and community. What type of learning style do you have at home? What's done at home? And I know a lot of traditional families, it's observation and then imitation. Mainstream learning, verbal and oral instruction. So if you can take those indigenous values, learning styles, into account when you are assessing students, ongoing assessment, spot checks, kids reflecting on what they're learning, what they feel they're having issues with. And if you're going to give tests, have them go through and analyze why they missed the questions they did. There's something called UB George, and it's a strategy. And you take all the question numbers, and the ones that they missed, you ask the question, did you miss it because you didn't know it? Did you miss it because you didn't read it all the way through? Did you miss it because you didn't understand what it was asking you to do? I mean, there's all sorts of ways. And if the students articulate that, then you have a starting point of how you can help that student succeed.
Sounds good to me.
I mean,
yeah.
How many teachers ask their kids, you know?
I could just see how that could truly change, you know, the way we're measuring of finding out why kids, aren't answering some of those questions and, you know, creating support to help them. Because a lot of times the answer to that question is something that teachers can help with. Paula, I appreciate your perspective on this. And when you say, you know, bringing more of an indigenous perspective, I want to make way for another voice in this conversation. Who knows what happens when you do make space for an indigenous perspective on learning? And folks, again, if you would like to join us, call us at 1-800-996-2848. What about measuring success from an indigenous perspective? How would that change the way our students learn and what they're retaining? Again, call us 1-800-996-2848. And joining us now from Honolulu, Hawaii, is Dr. Walter Kahumoku III, and he is the Director of Professional Development at the Kamehameha Schools, and he is Native Hawaiian. It's our pleasure to have Walter here with us. Good day to you, Walter.
Good day and good morning.
And Walter, it's our pleasure to be connecting to you, especially talking about what about an indigenous side to measuring success. Anything you want to kick us off with when it comes to, you know, infusing indigenous perspective into that measurement?
So if you wouldn't mind, I'm just going to take a short detour and talk a little bit about the history of our work. Our work meaning the Hawaiians here in the state. We've been at trying to reform education for the last probably 4 or 5 decades. We've also hit the legislation, the state legislation, and legislative houses. We have done a lot of community activism. We currently have on the books 2 official languages, English and Hawaiian, and it got passed in a constitutional convention in 1978. And we have Hawaiian education in grades 4, 7, and 9 as a required, which means that our kids actually have to graduate with knowledge about this state and, more importantly, about Hawaiians. Beyond that, We have just gone through a set of Board of Education policies that now mandate the use of Indigenous knowledge, language, traditional practices, others, into every walk of life of our public sector. So we have been cheering because we've got three big policies now that require the use of, say, for example, Hawaiian language and Hawaiian knowledge in all content areas that that our state actually teaches in our public sector and our public schools. A second one is that it requires this new policy, Nahopena'o E3, now requires that a set of Hawaiian value systems govern the way in which our public schools, approximately 280 of them across the state, and then maybe an additional 30 more charters and immersion schools, operate. That means all staff, faculty, school administrators, bus drivers, you name it, are now governed by a set of Hawaiian values. And then finally, we've done a lot of reform and passed a policy to help support Hawaiian language instruction in this state. And we have a long history now, about four decades of actual Hawaiian language instruction, primarily through immersion, that requires that kids actually are going through and graduating from. So, you know, earlier on, there was this conversation by Dr. Russell about measuring success. We have sort of turned the tables on what success actually is when we pass our new policy E3, Nahopena'o. So, sort of a backdrop to answer your question.
And Walter, I see why you're applauding. You're probably backflipping too. I mean, that is a lot of great things to be able to come on air and say. And I'm also wondering, you know, who spearheaded some of this? Was this Indigenous people from, you know, or Native people from Hawaii, or a conglomerate? You know, who do you have to thank for this being in place?
Well, you know, there's, because it's, we're talking about now five decades of work, you have a lot of folks who are Hawaiian, but also a lot of non-Hawaiians who joined forces and saw the need to raise the, you know, sort of the bar of excellence in terms of education for Hawaiians and all of Hawaii's children. So we do have conglomerates, most certainly, Ke'au Malamalama being one of them. Native Hawaiian Education Council being another, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. There are too many to actually list. But because so many people have been at this for such a long time, we've been seeing some successes now five decades in for pushing public policy and for pushing waivers with the US DOE. We actually have a waiver that allows us to recreate the kind of testing that our kids who are learning in our language take. So they no longer take, we're a smarter balanced state for our state assessment, and they no longer, grades 3 and 4 no longer take that particular test. And in fact, we created a group of folks, actually created one that was written in our Hawaiian language, comes from our Hawaiian indigenous ways of thinking and knowing. And we just tested the test last year that we created standards and then now a test. And it matches right up in terms of rigor and validity to the Smarter Balance test that the state requires. So we are thankful now that the waiver actually produced a product that are now our kids who are learning in Hawaiian language can actually use. And so they no longer have to take the national tests. Our state is allowing them to take this particular new test that's built around a set of Hawaiian standards.
Wow. And Walter, I want to throw that out to our audience. Give them a chance to vision. Imagine all of this was going on in your school, that, you know, values from your own community were backed by, you know, the entire state. Every student who went through the school system had a chance to learn a little bit about cultural values from your own nation. You know, what do you think that would look like? How would the schools change? And especially when it comes to measuring success. Call us right now. Share your reactions. 1-800-996-2100. 2848. Paula and Walter, we got a caller on the line we're going to go to. Let's go ahead and welcome Dave to the conversation. He's in Cortez, Colorado, connecting on KSJD Radio. Dave, thank you for your call.
Hi, I'm a Klamath Indian from Southeast Alaska, currently in Colorado. Horace Mann, the Massachusetts educationist who is considered the father of American public education, envisioned a system when he was constructing the American public school system that was based on the Prussian model, which sought to produce kind of blind, docile, tractable, obedient, patriotic soldiers and patriots who are willing to die for God and country. The U.S. system simply expanded on that model, and it's primarily intended to construct obedient, servile consumers and soldiers and conformists. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that we must educate them to keep them from our throats, meaning the elites must educate the masses to keep them from rising up. From a Native standpoint, the United States has always been, the U.S. educational system has always been used as a weapon of genocide, assimilation, and colonialism. And it's antithetical to traditional educational systems, which emphasize a practical experience, exposure to the natural world, interactions with other children and adults in natural, real-life situations and environments.
Dave, I'm having a hard time. We're getting... the line isn't as clear, but what I'm getting from what you're talking about, maybe is any of this an extension of what our Native nations have faced, being under a military style of setup? We look at the way, a lot of our communities are designed, being under control to control the mind, I think is what Dave is kind of getting at. We can go back in history and, read up and see more on this, or even just take the account from our tribal nations and what we know. Paula, I also want to get your thoughts on what Dave is bringing up about the system being set up in the past. We could even take this into historical trauma. Any thoughts about how we navigate or, even trust the system to be good for us?
Well, I think it takes creativity, for one thing, because he is right about why our school systems were invented. And, I mean, it was even gender-biased as well. I think that what teachers actually do in their classrooms is so far removed from these standardized tests. And if we keep pushing these standardized tests, we're going to take like 3 or 4 steps back to assimilation, and it's because it's a Western-style test with Western references to students who may or may not have that. And, there's a lot of things that need to be done with education to begin with. I've been in education for over 30 years, and when you can pull in things that speak to the kids, who they are, where they come from, and make school not such a hostile place with things that they don't know or they don't understand, I think it would be a better thing. But I'm concerned because it's these people who probably haven't been in a classroom since they graduated who are making some of these decisions, and it makes me very uncomfortable that these decisions are being made with that in mind.
Sure. And you know what? If there are any of those folks in the audience and you want to comment, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Walter, anything to add?
I think he's right. And I do think that Paula's right as well. So we have been after trying to just change the system and sort of the original purposes of schooling to actually be a lot more reflective of our Hawaiian ways of knowing and worldviews. So, for example, there are 6 parts to this Naho Pena Ao: a strengthened sense of belonging, a strengthened sense of responsibility, a strengthened sense of excellence, which are academic performance measures, and unfortunately the testing portion of it starts coming in, a strengthened sense of aloha and caring, a strengthened sense of total well-being, and a strengthened sense of Hawaii, which includes Hawaiian language, Hawaiian cultural practice, and knowledge. These now govern everything that we do in the public sector, which is a very different way of thinking about schooling and the purpose of building new generations for the future.
And that's definitely coming, you know, bringing in the indigenous perspective, too. I mean, just even, you know, having a law or something in place that says we will practice aloha. I mean, that is a huge term in, you know, Native Hawaiian culture and kind of almost takes a lifetime to really understand everything that that aloha, you know, has to, you know, bring to our lives. That's really interesting. Walter, thank you for that. I got one more call we're going to bring in. Let's hear now from Jeff in Cortez, Colorado. Jeff, thank you for connecting to us today on KSJD. What are your thoughts?
I'm the second person calling from Cortez in the last 5 minutes. I think that's a great sign for the interest level around here. I'm really excited that you're bringing up such an important topic. I tried to get on the call last week when you were talking about Pan-Americanism. I think education can be incorporated in all of these discussions. Thank you for bringing me on. I'm a firm believer and passionate about early childhood education, and I'm working out in Toyoak on the Ute Mountain Ute Reservation, and they have a Head Start program there. American or Alaskan Native American Indian Head Start program. And I'm wondering how your listeners and how your experts are feeling about its effectiveness in supporting a Native American community and whether that's being done in a culturally sensitive way.
All right. Thank you for your call, Jeff. Walter, let's hear your thoughts on that.
Well, we don't actually... We can't actually pipe into Head Start funding. So although we do have junior Ks in our public sector, most of our students actually attend, most of our Hawaiian students actually attend either a Hawaiian language immersion program and or some of the other schools that include some Hawaiian language in it. So we have sort of skated the issue. So I may not necessarily be the right person to talk to.
All right. Thank you, Walter. And with us today, we also have Paula on the line with us. She can give us her perspective on what it's like to, you know, put this, you know, view on our youngest learners. Paula, any words for our caller?
Well, we actually have a head start for the Muckleshoot tribe, and it's sort of right down the hill on the same property as our K-12 school. So a lot of those students actually come to our school, and they are being taught native language, the Muckleshoot language, the culture, the traditions. And we're seeing students from there come in very ready for kindergarten, very much ready for kindergarten. And you know, I think when you take into effect, and this is all cultures, not just Native, if you take into account their who they are, where they come from, their culture, their traditions, and you make it a point to learn about those as a teacher, I think then you know your students on a different level than you do if you just assume they're all the same. But we have seen amazing success with this. And I know that we have several head starts around this area that are actually a lot of Native kids go to it.
All right. Thanks, Paula.
And their culture and all sorts of things.
And Walter, I also want to take a look, you know, in the last moments that we have here on today's program. What about, you know, the end of the public schooling system when students graduate? I'm curious to hear how, you know, implementing this kind of system and how that plays into graduation rates. You know, what some people feel is you know, the biggest success when it comes to our young people. Go ahead, Walter.
We have, like Paula said, we have seen an amazing jump and spike in the number of Native Hawaiians who graduate from high school because of our insertion of Hawaiian culture-based education, because now we're changing the assessments to showcase their skills, their strengths, instead of their deficits. We utilize now a student portfolio process, of which testing is one component, but we do a lot of performance assessment that is in line with things like project-based learning and service learning. And most of those projects are built around increasing the capacity of our Hawaiian communities to better thrive, to be healthier. So does it help in a sense of in the end zone when our kids are graduating? Yes. Does it also help our kids then see college as a viable future? Yes. So we have more and more now students, Native Hawaiian students, who are starting to attend. So whereas maybe 20 years ago, we were hitting our flagship school here, University of Hawaii, maybe about 11% of Hawaiians would be entering. Now we're up to about 16 to 17%, and we're now starting to see a great rise in the number of Hawaiians who are applying to get into college. So we still have a long way to go, but at least we're on the rise.
All right. Thank you for that. And we're at the end of our program today. Thanks again to all who participated and callers coming in from different places. And thanks to our guests, Paula Scott, Dr. Walter Kahumoku III, and also Dr. Charles Monty Russell. Tomorrow is our September Book of the Month, where we'll be joined by Muskogee poet Joy Harjo. And she's going to be talking about her new book, Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. We will also be giving away books, so tune in tomorrow if you need something to read. Monica Brain is our senior producer. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. Roman Garcia engineered today's show, and Blake Driver screened your calls. Also, thanks to National Native News and Native Voice One. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood.
A Fognak Native Corporation, Chachliach, Dachait, Achwanachamut, Nunapit, Sumachirpit, Chali, Lumachirpit, Alutitstun. Lichi, Chali, a Fognak.com, Chali, Alutik.com. A Fognak Native Corporation, caring for the Afognak people, lands, values, and Alutik ways of life. Learn more at Afognak.com and Alutik.com.
How mitakuya piki. Our children and grandchildren look to us for guidance, wisdom, and comfort. Let's make sure staying healthy is a message we share with them. Medicaid CHIPS and Health Insurance Marketplace offers free or low-cost coverage for our families. Protect your family by enrolling for health coverage today. Learn more at healthcare.gov/tribal or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.